You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Haruki Murakami's latest novel, 1Q84, quickly became a sensation when it was published in Japan a few years ago. Its first printing sold out the day it was released, and it reached 1 million sales within a month. And you'll find the English translation of it on most critics' lists of best fiction published this past year. But I doubt if it will ever surpass the success of Murakami's 1987 novel, Norwegian Wood, which has been translated into 40 languages and has become an international cult classic. It's recently been adapted into a film written and directed by Tran Anh-hung, and it premiered at the Venice Film Festival. It opens in New York today at the IFC Center on 6th Avenue in the Village, and I'm very pleased to welcome Tran Anh-hung to our show today. Hello.
Hello.
The novel's appeal has been compared to The Catcher in the Rye, and like Salinger's novel, it's stirred some controversy this year. A New Jersey high school district removed the novel from its 10th grade honors English summer reading after parents protested that it was there. It was just too sexy.
Yes. There's a lot of sex in the book. Yes.
Well, as I understand it, you read it in French?
Yes, in 94. Yes.
This is because of the circumstances of your life. Your family had immigrated to the Paris suburbs in 1975. You were born in Vietnam, or were you born in exile in Laos?
Yes, I was born in Vietnam, and I moved to Laos when I was 8. And then at 12, I moved to France.
So you speak English, obviously, French, Vietnamese, I'm assuming, yes. Lao?
Yes, if I go back there and stay there for a while, I would speak Lao. Again, yes.
Well, but this is a Japanese language film. Do you speak Japanese?
No, not at all.
So that must have been very difficult, directing a film in a language that you don't speak?
No, I don't think so. Because when you watch a movie that you don't speak the language, you can see immediately if it's good or not, you know. So it's the same thing for me as a director. And it was not a problem at all.
Well, you have to trust your actors. And also, there must have been other people around who said they did it well.
Yes, not only trust them, because when something goes wrong, I can see it immediately.
Over the past 24 years, had any Japanese filmmakers wanted to make a film based on this novel?
Yes, I think so.
So how did you wind up with the project? Because I understand Murakami has resisted all of those attempts until now.
Yes, I don't know. Maybe I ask him at the right moment. I think that it's time for him, you know, to have some distance with his work. So maybe I ask him at the right moment. And also maybe because he saw something in my movies that could fit his book, that's why he said yes to me.
And you not only got him to agree to do it, he kind of cooperated with you.
Yes, not exactly. He wanted to read the first draft, and so I sent him a first draft in English because we communicate in English with him. And he gave me a lot of notes, and it was quite useful and quite generous from him, because I kept some of his dialogues that was not in the book.
He suggested new dialogue.
Yes, not only new dialogues, but also new scenes, it's quite interesting.
He must have been thinking about the book, what he would have wanted to have done if he'd had a chance to write it again, and now he had an opportunity.
It's true, because his notes looks like someone who saw it, you know, who wrote the book a long time ago, and now he has some time and, you know, new ideas about it.
He's famously reclusive. Did you ever get to meet him?
Yes, of course. We met some time, yes.
Were the novel's fans upset that it was being adapted for the screen? You've said that you saw some things on the blogs where people were saying things like, oh, no, you cannot do the movie. You cannot adapt this book. It is impossible. It is horrible that you're thinking of doing this.
Yes, it's true. And it's quite risky, you know. And sometimes on the blogs, people are really precise. So, for instance, they wonder, how is it possible to film the end of the movie when Watanabe say, where am I? You know, and they for them, it's just impossible.
The Watanabe is Toru Watanabe, who is the protagonist of the story. He's a 19-year-old student in Tokyo in the late 1960s, and he finds himself drawn to two different women. One of them is emotionally unstable. The other is kind of lively and independent, and you wonder why he doesn't just go to the one who seems to be the right fit for him.
Because as a man, I think that he was attracted, you know, by that kind of femme fatale, you know, and kind of poison that he couldn't, you know, he wanted to taste the poison because it's so fascinating. And what was great with the book is that I think Murakami split a woman into two, you know, and you have Naoko, who is a femme fatale, and Midori, she's a wife. And Watanabe was lucky, you know, to meet these two women.
My guest is Tranan Hung, who has adapted Murakami's 1987 novel Norwegian Wood into a film that opens in New York today at the IFC Center on 6th Avenue in Greenwich Village. Despite all the things that are going on at the time, we're talking about the late 60s in Japan, Toru seems reluctant to make any real commitments. There's a lot of unrest, student protests, and he just seems to be oblivious to it all. You show him walking with the protesters, but obviously not going really with them.
Yes, it's true, and it was in the book, so I cannot change it, you know, somehow. In the book, he was not interested in all these protests, but I use it in a very cinematic way. It's a way for me to create a very noisy moment, so that the next moment when he's alone with Naoko, we can feel by contrast that kind of intimacy between Naoko and Watanabe.
Well, you have to find visual ways of showing somebody who is rather passive in his life, although he gets rather active when he's swimming or when he's speeding along the campus corridors or working in this factory to pay his way through college. But in dealing with the women, he's quite passive. They have to actually be aggressive with him. You can't just do that with dialogue.
Yes, but also I think that he has this capacity to listen to women, you know, and he's really sensitive, and women can talk to him, and he can receive it, and that's how we can say that he's not that passive.
You cast Rinko Kikuchi for the part of the Naoko. Didn't she receive an Oscar nomination for Babel?
Yes, it's true.
And you say you weren't enthusiastic about casting her at first. What were your objections?
It was because I saw her in Babel, and I thought that she would not fit the role, especially because of her age. She was older than the role. But she insisted, you know, to pass the audition. And finally, at the end of the process, I accepted. And when I saw the tape, it was amazing. It was obvious that she could be a Naoko.
Well, we understand why any man would be attracted to her.
Yes.
You also use color to suggest different emotions in this film. I don't know whether this is something that comes out of your own tradition, or whether this is something that we've seen in Japanese films as well. It's less likely to happen in a Hollywood film, but the colors are in rich golden amber tones when in the early scenes in school, and then they turn blue when things get sadder. There are these snowy and misty scenes that tell us a lot about how people are feeling.
Yes, I think it's color is all about feelings. I never try to give meanings to colors. So it's something that it's quite intuitive from me. I don't have any theory, any ideas about it. It's just that when I have to choose some color, I let something inside of me guide me to find the right thing.
And you were doing that even in your first film, The Scent of Green Papaya, which got you an Oscar nomination for Best Foreign Language Film. The music is provided by Johnny Greenwood of the rock band Radiohead, even though the theme song is obviously Norwegian Wood by the Beatles. Were you afraid about getting a little anachronistic?
Oh, no, not at all. Because Johnny has this great quality to be able to bring some beauty out of the darkness. And I think that it's something that is really in the book. And Johnny really did a great job for the movie.
Your wife has starred in every one of your films except this one.
Yes, but she did the production design for the movie and also the costume design.
Well, your parents were tailors, so do you think a lot about costume design?
No, not at all.
This is just something that concerns them. You say that when you went to France, the next day your parents started working, making clothes for the French army.
Yes, exactly, yes.
And you studied philosophy.
Yes, at the beginning, yes.
So what led you to start making films?
It's just because I saw a movie made by a Vietnamese living in France. So for me, it means that it's possible for me too. That's why I started to go to school. I mean film school. And had
you already worked at the Musée d'Orsay at that point?
Yes, I work at the Musée d'Orsay, yes, after the film school, because I wanted to have time to write scripts. So I work 4 days at the museum, and 3 days I spend them to write scripts.
I read somewhere that you say you want to be less interested in films and to be free of all the cultural baggage most people spend a lifetime accumulating, like music, art, and literature. Why is that?
Sorry, I didn't get your question.
Well, it's too complicated and we've run out of time. But I want to thank you so much for coming by to talk about this film, which is already a big hit in Japan. It's called Norwegian Wood. We know the song. The director is Tran Anh Hung, and the film, which premiered in the Venice Film Festival, opens today in New York at the IFC Center on 6th Avenue in Greenwich Village. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.